their teeth. That grosses me out, by the way. Every time I see it, I'm like, that's disgusting. But you know what? That's how we are. We kind of live with stuff in our lives. And we kind of, it's ridiculous if you look at it, but we walk over the top of it. We live around it. All kinds of stuff. But it's just, it's baggage. It's stronghold. And what are strongholds? Remember? Lies. All based on lies. Stronghold is a lie that keeps you captive. It keeps you a prisoner. That's what strongholds are. And that's what I was just thinking, I had a thought. I'm hoping some of you all don't, like, get in the car and argue about which of you has the bigger bag. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, my bag is like a little Gucci bag. And you've got, like, an army duffel bag, you know. I don't care how cute it is. It's still bag, right? It's still stronghold. It's still a lie. But sometimes we kind of guard those things in our lives. And God wants to deliver us. He wants to set us free of our baggage, okay? So anyway, Pastor Jeff talked about that. And baggage, it does affect our lives. It affects how we see each other. It affects how we see God. And it affects how we see ourselves. See, baggage isn't good for us. It really does affect us. And God really does want to set us free, okay? So week two, Pastor Jen came, and she talked about there are two areas, really, that baggage comes in. One of the areas is the relationships. Won't we love people? They're great. They help us. They hurt us. I mean, oh, Lord. But it's relational wounds that happen to us, maybe in our childhood, maybe, you know, whenever. It's relational wounds. And so things like unforgiveness comes in, bitterness comes in. It's that kind of stuff. So it's relational baggage. Well, the other area that baggage comes in, and Pastor Burt spoke on that, and I don't have the concrete blocks he did, but I have the key, which is the Word of God, right, that sets us free. He talked about things that we've done, past baggage, mistakes, sins. And so then we feel guilty. There's condemnation. There's shame. There's blame that comes in. All those things that come into our lives, those are the two areas that Satan really uses in our lives to beat us down and keep us back. And then finally, the fourth week was the bag that won't let go. Now, you saw my husband. He had a fanny pack on. I refuse to wear a fanny pack. I don't need to wear a fanny pack. Fanny packs don't compliment me, and so I'm not wearing a fanny pack, but you get the idea, right? And by the way, I was told that they're coming back in style, and I didn't wear them then, and I'm not wearing them now, so just want you to know. But the bag that won't let go. So what happens is we get saved, right? Jesus comes in. We're like, woo! I mean, we are a new creation in Christ, right? We're a new creature in Christ. And so our spirit becomes alive. And so most of the things fall away. I have a friend of mine. She cussed a lot, like a sailor. Sorry, sailors. So, versus Roy, he's mad. Anyway, so, and when she got saved, she quit just like that. I mean, did not cuss anymore. And sometimes that happens with people. They get saved, and I mean, they quit drinking, they quit whatever it is in their lives. I mean, it is amazing. And you have seen it. But then there's that one area, just, you know, just won't let go. It's unforgiveness, it's struggling with pride and all the things, you know, alcoholism, all that kind of stuff. We just have that one thing that we struggle with on a daily basis. Well, Jeff talked about regeneration. So when Christ comes in and he saves us, our spirit, we are saved. We are going to heaven. But all this other stuff really affects how we live our lives. Do we have joy in our life? Are we walking the way, you know, Christ said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Are we walking in abundance? Are we just settling? Are we just like miserable, truly? Well, what happens is we have to walk it out. Because our minds and our minds for a long time we've gone to those things. Certain triggers in our lives cause us to get into the anger or to the you know, the thing that we do. There's triggers. And we have to learn to take the word, which is the key, right? It's the thing that sets us free, because truth sets us free. And God's word is the truth, right? It's an active, alive truth. So you have to learn to take that truth and apply it to your life. How does that work? Well, it works by reading the word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I actually read the word of God out loud. I read it in over my spirit. Promises of God. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love. Ah, you're good. Jeff would be really, really proud of you. Yes, that's right. You know, one of the strongholds in my life has been fear. I hate fear. Fear. Trembling fear. When I was a little girl, I would lay in bed at night and be so afraid. So afraid. The door would be cracked, the light would be on, but I was so convinced something was always going to happen. Very, very fearful as a child. Well, as I got older, God was working in my life because I was growing as a Christian, right? I had my daughter. But when Jeff would go out of town, I would leave all my lights on. I could not sleep with lights off. I was too fearful. It wasn't just in my bedroom. It was all over the house. I was, you know, a little better, but not much better. I was very fearful. Didn't want to speak. Dear Lord, didn't want to get up here and talk, let alone be a pastor's wife. But I was so fearful. I had somebody, you know, I kept fighting this, and I had somebody pray for me. And in that moment, I had a lot of that come off of me, where now I sleep fine. I don't have fear like that. But you know what? When I struggle, guess the first thing that tries to take me over? Fear. What? It's going to knock on my door. See? Look at that. That voice. Even now, right now, sitting in this service, you all are hearing the voice of the enemy. Oh, she's talking about freedom again. I've tried that stuff. That's not going to happen. Who is that? Is that God? God tell you that stuff? The enemy is like a parrot. He tells you things all the time. What does the Bible say about him? He's the accuser of the brethren. He is accusing you day and night. Day and night. Now, ladies, I walk by a mirror. Okay, I know. And I'm like, oh, I look really old today. I don't look so good. Oh, Lord, I need some more makeup. What's going on? I mean, I just, you know, because there's that thought of you're getting older and you're not looking good and you're looking ugly. And, oh, Lord, you've gained the 10 pounds. And why are you getting up there? I mean, there's all kinds of things, right, that the enemy tells us every day. And, guys, you're weak. You can't do it. Nobody respects you. You're all alone. You're by yourself, right? God? That God, why do we put up with that stuff? We just kind of ignore it like it doesn't, it does matter. It really does. And God wants us to take the word of God. No, in the name of Jesus. No, I'm not going to be fearful in Jesus' name. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. Because God has told me to, and he's going to be with me. And so sometimes I do things afraid. And guess what? It breaks off. All right. Okay. So, the bag that won't let go. We're going to walk it out. Okay? This bag, we'll pick it up. Oh, hold on. Got a bag. I'm going to throw it. So, let me ask you a question. When fear comes in my life and I make a mistake, I pick up the bottle, I do whatever. I'm picking on the bottle today. I don't know why. I'm angry, I'm fearful, whatever it is, right? So, I've got that bag. So, if I've got that bag, and I've made a mistake, and I've yelled at my children, I've kicked my dog, which I don't, I love my dog, but I am tempted sometimes, which shows me I'm in a bad place. You're not in a spirit when you want to kick your dog. I'm like, oh. So does that mean the bag has come in and taken over? No, it doesn't, not necessarily, because a righteous man falls 7 times, but then what? Gets up. See, that's when you lay down. See, I want to lay down. I'm tired. I'm going to lay down. That's not good. Don't lay down. Don't do that. Okay. I got to come back to my notes. All right. Week four, the bag that won't let go, fanny pack. Okay, we got over that. All right. Let's go on to my, Aaron, you can go on to the next slide. I'm starting here. This is my thing. Okay, so what happens, how do we, when we're free, okay, we're free, and how we walk this thing out? How are we going to stay free? How do we maintain our freedom? Because, see, that's up to us. God has done the work. He set us free. But we're not always, oh, there he is. Isn't he great? That's what it should be, shouldn't it? I forgot I had that in there. Okay, Aaron, you can go to the next one. I'm glad you love me. Okay, so how do we maintain our freedom? All right, well, here's a secret that a lot of Christians don't realize. It's called the counterattack. People don't always talk about this, but it's true. In Luke 11, it talked about that. Okay, well, it's Luke 11, I promise. 24 through 26. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me on this scripture. I'm going to read it to you. There you go. When the evil spirit leaves a man or person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. Stay with me, okay? But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns. It finds its former home all swept in an order. Ooh, they've gone through all four of the steps. They're free. Okay. Now, he goes and he finds seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they all enter the person and they live there. And that's not good news, okay? And so that person is worse off than before. Now, okay, the reason I talk about this is there is a counterattack. There's a counterattack. So we get free, okay? Write this down. We have freedom. Okay, my thing doesn't look very good. That's okay. Aaron, go back, because it's at the bottom. Freedom and hallelujah. Okay, so freedom, number one. So we're free, okay? The house is swept, okay? And then what happens? See, you can see this in every area of our lives. You can even see it in our country. We fought for our freedom, right? We wanted religious freedom, and we fought. Anybody who really wants to be free, and you fight and fight and fight for it, you will get it, right? You will. I've seen people, I want to lose weight. And so they get into a program, and they work really hard, and they lose their weight. And they get to their goal. Now, maintaining it is tricky, right? So then God blesses us. Number two is prosperity. So we have freedom. God gives us prosperity. Our country was that way. You know, prosperity, blessings, joy, all that stuff. But here's the thing. People don't know how to handle freedom. They don't know how to handle prosperity or blessings. We don't really know how to do that very well. You see it when people lose weight, they gain it all back. I mean, I know about that. So, you know, God gives us freedom. He blesses us. We don't know how to handle it. We do two things. A lot of times what happens is we get really arrogant. We get really like, I got this. Whew. I'm really good. I'm good. I've done this. So we get prideful in our prosperity. When you've seen it in our country, right? A lot of arrogance. Or, this would be me sometimes, I just kind of lay down. I'm tired. I'm just tired of fighting. I think I deserve to lay down. So all the things that you did to, you know, really walk in that freedom, you're getting in your word, you're reading the Bible, you're around other people, there's a lot of life going on. You just kind of quit doing it. You just kind of lay down. You get tired. You get whatever, and you just quit. So there's a complacency that comes in. Both things go back into bondage, right? It goes back into bondage. So how do we get free, get blessed, and go back to get free, you know, and not go back into the bondage thing? How do we do that? That is the key, right? How do you maintain it? How do you do that? All right. Number one, well, stay free. Number one, Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Don't be laying down. Don't be getting all prideful. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. This is what they're talking about. That was slavery in your life. These bags are slavery, the insecurity, the pride, the lust that we struggle with, all the different things that we struggle with. Don't do that. Stand firm. How do you do that? Number one, humility. One of the hardest things in my life is humility. But when Jesus came, what did he do? He humbled himself, right, and came as a baby. Humility is a gift from God, it really is. If we want to stay free, we have to be humble. We have to remember where we came from. We have to understand that. And it's okay to help other people, but it's to say, you know what? I couldn't do this on my own. But Jesus helped me, and this is how he helped me. You see what I'm saying? That's putting ourselves in a place of humility. If we get really prideful, then we're going to go back into that bondage. If we guard ourselves and not allow ourselves to be humble, we're going to go back in that bondage. We don't want the bondage, right? I don't want the bondage. I don't want that stuff. So it's hard. We got to be humble. We got to walk before the Lord, and we've got to be humble, and we've got to tell people when we share. It says Psalm 51, this was David, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." The Lord loves that. We have to remember our need for God always, always. You know, God loves us. He wants us free more than we want sometimes us free. He really does. He loves us, and he understands where we are in our struggle. He's not this God that stands with his hands folded, and he's angry at you because you've fallen again, and he's just kind of done with you. Or he's this passive God that's way over here that really, you know, is not really involved in your life. And maybe if you're you cry hard enough, he'll come around. God is not that way. He isn't. He walks with us. He talks to us. He understands our struggles. He wants to help us in the midst of the struggle. See, we want to go to God after the struggle. Okay, I'm better now. Yeah, you love me now because I'm lovable. But see, we're not so lovable in the midst of a struggle, are we? We're ugly. We're nasty. Okay, I am. You may not be. Okay, I am. I'm not nice. I'm not a nice person when I struggle. I really want to hide. I want to come here and I want to put my little happy face on so you all think I'm a good pastor's wife. Everybody's got that, don't they? Oh, no, you shouldn't tell people that. You're a person that's really strong in the Lord or whatever yours is. Oh, no, you don't let people know. No, we all struggle. And we're all following hard after God. And he loves us. So don't count yourself out. God is for you. So humility. Humility is our friend. Now, James Robinson talks about being humble, humility, or humiliation. One, you do. We humble ourselves. Humiliation, sin does. And the enemy does, right? We don't want to be there. I want to humble myself before the Lord and walk in humility. All right. Number two, honesty. If we want to stay free, we need to be honest. And this is a really hard one, too. I think it's right there with humility. You're going to have to be honest. Be honest with God. 1 John 1:9-10. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, what? I don't know. That person over there did it. I didn't. Well, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in us, in our lives, okay? We have to be honest before God. God, I am struggling in this area. I do this. I do. I say, Lord, you know, I am 49 years old. I should be nicer. Yeah. I've loved you for 20 years or more. I don't know. I got saved 8, 9, 10. I don't know. I repented a lot. I think I've gotten saved a lot anyway, I've repented a lot. But at 49, you know, I think I should be more loving. I just should be a more loving person. I should love my children more when they have plans for my life. I thought you had plans for my life. Yeah, my children have plans for my life all the time. You need to take me here, and then I need to go there. I'm like, wait a minute, I need to go to bed. So I'm not always a real loving person. And I think I should be. And I think I should be more forgiving. You think when you get older and you've been with Jesus longer, you should be more forgiving. I still struggle with that. I do, and I need Jesus to help me. Every single day of my life, I'm in tears at times. I'm like, God, please help me. I need you. Honesty. Honesty. Be honest. And then, here's the kicker, you got to be honest with people. Oh, yeah, well, we can be honest with God all day long because he knows anything, everything anyway. But, you know, people, you're going too far, Tracy. That's just too much. Okay, I know. Stay with me. Hang with me. It's going to be okay. John 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I think that's very good. Now, do we just go and tell anybody and everybody what we're going through? Is that wise? No, it's not. No. We are really big on small groups here. We have freedom groups here. We have all kinds of groups here. We got great people. We got people that love Jesus. We really do. And so I would encourage you, if you've not gotten into a group, it's okay. It's not too late. You come to mine if you want to. I'll take you. You've got to be a woman, though. Sorry, guys. Anyway, so come and get to know us. Get to know people. And then when you feel comfortable, okay, it shouldn't take you, you know, a year, so come on. You need to find somebody that you can be honest with, that they can pray for you, not judge you. I have nothing to say about that. I need Jesus. So, you know, that you can be honest with. I am struggling. I can't seem to get past this. I need prayer. Do you know this week? I have struggled more this week with fear than I have in a long time. Is that? Yeah. Because I'm speaking on it. That's exactly right. So I have had to call several of my friends and say, would you please pray for me? I am really struggling right now. I'm having anxiety. Dear Lord, that's not ever happened to me before. And they've almost covered me continuously, and probably even now, right now, praying for me. But I need friends. I need people. I'm honest with my husband. Yes, you have to be honest with your spouse, okay? So I'm honest with my husband. He's one I'm very honest with. I mean, how can you not be? He lives with me, you know? You are struggling, aren't you, honey? You know, that's not good for him to say that. I wouldn't encourage you guys to say that openly to your wives. I would say pray for them. And be extra loving, please. Anyway, okay, be honest. So honesty. Number three, Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to walk with us every single day. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and he does. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father God, you are in me. Holy Spirit, you live in me. Show me how to love in a different way. Every one of my children are different. They all do things differently. If you got children, do you know what I'm saying? You can ask the Holy Spirit to show you, how do I love in this season? You know, sometimes, ladies, it's just keeping your mouth closed. I just smile. I'm loving because I'm not saying anything right now. But, you know, we can be led by the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If you ask him to come, he will. And he will direct our paths. Now, we need encounters with God on a daily basis. I know I do. We need encounters with God, face-to-face with God every single day. Not just once. Yes, we got saved, and that was wonderful. But I'm telling you, we need them on a regular basis. I know I do. Right? To change us. All right, let's talk about a man in closing who had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. Genesis 32, 24 through 30, and I'm going to read it. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And we talk about this being the angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself. Now when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man asked him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Interesting. And he said, then the man said, you will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, which means prince, by the way, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. And he replied, why do you ask me my name? And then he blessed him there. So that Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wrestling with God in this stuff. God, I need you. I am desperate for you to help me. Yes, God has already done that, but we also need to be having that encounter with him on a daily basis. God, I need you to help me walk this out. Help me to be a forgiving person, to do what you have called me to do. I love this because, see, Jacob was, had a lot of baggage, you know. His name meant deceiver. All his life he deceived. Always found a way around stuff so he could be the one blessed. Remember that? You know, took it away from his brother twice. He deceived his father. You know, he did all these things to get make sure he was the one that got the blessing. His name was Deceiver. That's what he knew. But he was getting ready to encounter his brother. He was getting ready to go through a really hard season. And he was like, I can't do this. So he knew his need. God, help me. So he saw this angel of the Lord, and he wrestled with him. If you ever wrestle with God, I would encourage you to have a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. God, I need you to help me. I need this marriage to be what you've called it to be. What does that need to look like? You know, a person on his knees can't go any lower than that. We need a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. And Jacob had that. So it was interesting that he touched his socket right here. Or right here. Cameron, you could help me with that. One of the things in the leg that's the biggest muscle. Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he touched his leg? In the middle of the wrestling and the strongest muscle in the body is in your leg. Because when we have face-to-face encounters with God, and we struggle, and God renames us, right? He gives us a new strength. And he says, no longer are you going to have the strength in your leg because you can't do it anymore. I'm going to keep it as a reminder when you limp that your strength comes from me. Your strength comes from me. And that is what happens when we wrestle. And that's how we're going to stay free. We're honest. We're humble. We have encounters with the Lord. We have those times of wrestling where he gives us a new strength. And what else did he give him? A new identity. You're no longer going to be Jacob the deceiver. You're going to be Israel the prince. You're going to come up here with the Lord. I'm going to show you how to live and how to walk. And then the last thing, I'm going to give you a new joy. He blessed him. He blessed him in the midst of the struggle. He gave him a new joy. And that's how we're going to stay free. We're going to walk. We're going to understand counterattacks, okay? Because the enemy's going to come. He's going to knock on that door to see if you're going to give in to him. He's going to try to get me with that fear. I'm going to punch him in the face because that's what I do in Jesus' name with scripture. And then I'm going to walk with humility. I'm going to be honest with God and others. Don't be waiting until you go way down the road. But, you know, if that's where you are, then that's where you are. Cry out to somebody for help. Let's do that, okay, because that's accountability. And then we're going to have face-to-face encounters with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do that right now. So if I could have the worship team come up. Where's my Mr. Stephen? My worship team, hallelujah. And then all my ministry team, let's come up. You know, God wants to set us free. Wherever you are in your stage, okay? If you're just like, I didn't even realize that that was a struggle in my life. Come up and let us pray for you. Let's pray. Guys, I could not live for the Lord unless I had my friends. And they were praying for me. I need prayers. I can't do this. We are not an island. So we need one another. So I would encourage you, please come and let's pray for you. Amen.